Raising the Bets is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Raising the Bets, a family podcast of pirates and penguins. We're a Catholic couple raising five kids outside of Boston. Join us as we share the joys and challenges of marriage, homeschool, and our adventures near and far as we make sense of the world and experience the best parts of our culture. I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
So, it's been a beautiful day today.
Gorgeous.
If you consider the last day of August, like the end of summer, which I know for a lot of people it's not, but if you kind of, it's kind of in that range. It's almost like the best day of the summer is almost the last day of the summer. I mean, this might have been the best day of the summer. It was brilliant blue skies, no humidity, 75 degrees with a breeze. I've always said, like, if I could name the perfect weather, that's what it would be. 75 with a breeze, perfect blue skies with puffy clouds, which we got.
Yeah, it was pretty darn near perfect, which of course means I spent 2 hours sleeping this afternoon.
Inside. In your bed instead of in the hammock.
Well, you didn't have the hammocks
up yet. That's the funny thing is while you were sleeping, I put up the hammocks and changed the lawnmower blade and changed the house water filter.
Yes, you were very busy while I was napping. Yes,
while you were napping. My least favorite job is changing the house water filter because it's in a really inconvenient place in the front closet and it's really hard to get at. Oh, and then getting that cover back in, which thank God I cut that board in half and put the piano hinge on it because before that it was even worse. Anyway, that's done.
Yay.
I did some other stuff too, but yeah, lawnmower blade was a tough one. Turns out, funny thing, it wasn't actually broken.
What?
The lawnmower blade.
A new blade and it wasn't actually broken?
Well, that blade had never been replaced or changed, so we needed a new blade regardless.
I mean, oh, okay.
But I had thought when Ben was mowing that he'd taken a chunk out of the blade, but I must have looked at it too quickly, because when I looked at it, it's like, no, that gap is from the mulching. It's got like these fins on the back, and it mulches the blade, the blades of grass as they fly around underneath. It chops them into tiny bits. It minces them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yum.
Minced grass. Yes. Anyway, so I did all that stuff today, which was fun. And I ended up buying a torque wrench, which I never had before. Now I'm a real man because real men have torque wrenches.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they do. More real men understand how they work, but I think I figured it out. Anyway.
I know nothing of torque wrenches.
That's because you're not a man. Man, I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
just stop right there.
Send email to Melanie away. At all right. So what did we do this week? So you got the kids out for a hike in the town forest again.
I did. We have a couple kids who just really wilt under any kind of heat.
They're not Texans.
Yeah, they're not Texans.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah. Anyway, but this week we had a day where the high was 72. And I said, okay, we're just skipping our afternoon school and we're going to go for a hike. And unfortunately, Isabella was very tired because we'd gone to the grocery store that morning and she has to push the shopping cart. And she's
because
like,
you can't.
Because I can't.
Yeah.
And she was rather upset about the whole. She's like, any other day, a hike would have been wonderful.
Poor Bella.
She survived, though. And
you're 14. You'll bounce back.
Exactly. Everyone had a great time. It was a beautiful day. And we explored a new trail that we hadn't gone down before.
Mm, always good.
Which is always fun.
It's nice having a town forest, like just down the street with trails. And
it's just a little bit too far to walk there and then do a hike. Like we could walk there, but then everyone would be done and wouldn't want to do a hike.
Well, it's uphill.
Right.
From here.
But it's like a 1 minute drive, 2 minute drive. And then it's a nice little woodland area.
Right. It's not a fancy forest at all. There's no amenities. It's got a trail and a bunch of trails and that's it. But it's fine. It's perfect for our little town. And then so on Friday we finally had our crossover ceremony for Cub Scouts. So the big thing with Cub Scouts is at the end of every year, all the kids of a certain Cub Scouts is different from Boy Scouts. Cub Scouts, all the kids in a den, the wolf den, say, all graduate, all cross over to the next level, whether they've earned their badge or not. It's not like Boy Scouts where you're working your way to Eagle Scout. This is you're trying to earn your badge that year, but even if you don't earn it, you move on. That's why Cubs is a little different. So you have a crossover ceremony. The pack would have a crossover ceremony usually in June. Well, you know, obviously this year is the year from hell. So we didn't have that. And so we've been doing individual crossover ceremonies for each den. So I'm the den leader for the Bears. And so we had a crossover ceremony for the Bears to go to Weeblow. But also because Lucy wasn't here, we were on vacation for the Tiger Den. She went as well to get her crossover to Wolf. Wolf? Wolf, yes. Tiger's to Wolf.
Yes, she's now a wolf.
And so it's Ligers, Lions, Tigers, and Wolves, then Bears.
Ligers.
Ligers. That's the wrong den. That's just the bad things happened. Anyway, Joe Exotic is the den leader. No. That is wrong. Don't laugh at that. So
I'm not laughing at all. No, you're not laughing. Yeah,
no one is laughing at that. Joe Exotic is the den leader for the Liger Den. Oh my gosh. That's just too funny. Anyway, bringing up trends from the spring of 2020. And so we had the crossover ceremony at the park down by the town hall called Mary Wales Park. It's not like whales, like, you know, the ones that swim in the ocean. Like, her name was Wales, W-A-L-E-S. And there used to be a factory on that spot. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
There was a factory, a shoe factory. This area was known for shoe factories. And there was a shoe factory there and the owned by the Wales family. And it ended up closing down and she donated the land to the town for a memorial park. So there's the town war memorial is on that spot.
Oh,
yeah. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. So there's a memorial. The original memorial is, of course, the Civil War memorial. And they've added over the years for World War One, II, Spanish-American War, Korean War, Vietnam War. I don't think we had anyone who died in either Desert Storm or Afghanistan from the town. So, which is nice to have. Bella came and she was all a flutter about the listing of the Civil War dead from our town. Including two sets of people with the same last name, but we'll get to that in a second because that inspired something else that happened this week. So, you know, all the little kids in their little uniforms, it's very cute.
So cute.
And they have their masks on and we had to do all the COVID friendly versions of it. So they, instead of having them invested in their new neckerchief and we had to take the neckerchief, the slide off so that Dan, the Cubmaster with gloves and mask, could carefully remove the old neckerchief and place it over their arm that is outstretched to the side. That was the requirement. They have to outstretch their arm and then carefully lay the new one over and then come back to the parent who would put the slide back on the neckerchief to hold it. And he would hand them a baggie with their awards in it and that sort of thing. So it was very cute. Anthony had gotten a bunch of stuff and Lucy had gotten some things. Bella wanted to come along and wear her scout uniform because as she said, she's really, really wants to be a scout again because she hasn't been able to do anything scouting in a long time.
Oh, it's been so sad. She's really missed.
She's really into scouting and more so than Sophie. Sophie, I think, enjoys it as a thing that she does with Bella. But Bella's really into scouting and I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Sophie likes to do some of the stuff. She doesn't love everything about scouting.
Yeah.
She's not like all 100%
She's not all in like
I think Bella is. I think she would be happy if she could just like tag along to the fun stuff and skip the meetings.
Yes. Yeah.
She's not that interested in working on ranks or badges or anything.
She just wants to do stuff.
Right. But she likes like hikes and like the activity stuff.
Should be a place for kids like that.
There should be.
This is a societal thing where we're all about advancement, to move forward, to achieve, to mark your progress, you know, to go further and higher. I mean, in fact, the scouting organization, BSA, it's all about, like, they measure troops on how many kids advance. Like, there's a big thing.
It's also competitive. Oh,
it's not so much competitive, just as, right, you know, but we have to mark progress. We have to tabulate.
Again, but that's competitive.
I guess it's competitive. But
that's competitive.
Yeah. It's
like I would have loved the kids to learn Irish dance, but I could not find an Irish dance school that just taught dance. Just taught dance with no competitions. I have no interest in being a competition mom. I would like my kids to learn how to dance. But there are no just dance. And they all say...
You don't want to buy them the wig with the fake Irish curls?
Oh my gosh, those drive me crazy. I'm sorry, my friends who love Irish dance and even like the wigs, but no. I mean, the schools will say, well, you don't have to compete, but everybody competes. It's all geared towards
competition. If you don't compete, you're a weirdo. You know, that you're kind of obviously not competing.
Right. I mean, it's just...
And everything else is about competition. So if you're there and you're not competing, and everybody else is all about competing, you're kind of left out.
You're going to be the weird left out person. Whereas there's no place for just, I want to learn how to dance, and just for the fun of learning how to dance.
Or do archery, or learn how to, fencing, or anything like that.
It's all it's all competitive. There's no just like, hey, I just kind of like to just do this thing because it looks like fun.
Right. I'd like to learn how to do this and then do it, just for fun.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's very little opportunity for that. So... Anyway, Bella came along and she helped out with the ceremony. It's very interesting. There's this one boy who is also a scout, about Bella's age. She towers over him now. Like I think he was kind of sweet back in the day, like on Sophie and Bella, like the two sisters, because let's face it, they're pretty, and he's a teenage boy, but. They both tower over him now. It's so funny.
That's pretty much, isn't that true, like, mostly for girls
14,
at that age?
14-year-old girls and 14-year-old boys.
Because yeah. Girls get their growth spurt a lot earlier than boys do.
Yes.
I was the girl who towered over the boys.
Yes. Too. You still are.
This is true. I still tower over you, so. So what are you going
to
do?
So the crossover was good. Looking forward to future, it's still, how we do scouting, I'm still a bit baffled about how I'm going to do these den meetings, you know, wearing masks outdoors somewhere, you know, because you can't do them indoors. And where are we going to do it? And how are we going to do it? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm still baffled. So I mentioned that Bella was all into the Civil War Memorial and the listing of the soldiers who died from our town. And your uncle, Jim, is a big... genealogy buff. He knows a lot about your family's history, and you figured he that there was someone in your ancestry who
I know that he's traced, like, he's actually got a member of the Sons of the Revolution, and he's traced, I think, at least five or six ancestors back to the Revolutionary War. And I said, if we've got five or six Revolutionary War veterans in our family tree, certainly we must have some Civil War vets as well. So I thought, since Bella is so in love with the Civil War, I mean, she's read the whole Time Life series on it. And this week we'd gotten some more historical novels. So I thought I'd ask Uncle Jim, hey, do we have any Civil War vets? And he came through in a big way. He only had one, which I suspect there might be more out there. But my grandmother's great-grandfather, I think, like four greats from Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Was a Civil War vet. He was served in the 24th Iowa Infantry.
Hmm.
He was born in Ohio, and I think his family lived in Illinois. It said, anyway, he had an interesting...
How'd he end up in Iowa?
Yeah, he had an interesting history in that he signed up in Iowa. Evidently, he got sick and he spent some time in the hospital, and then he rejoined the regiment, and then he deserted and was found in Illinois and was arrested and returned to the regiment. He was court-martialed and docked 7 months' pay.
Wow.
But then went ahead and, fought. He was wounded in action. Well, actually, it's not clear. The wording sounds like it might have been friendly fire. But he lost.
It often was.
Right. He lost the first two fingers on his left hand, and it sounds like most of the teeth in his upper jaw. And he spent most of the rest of his service being moved from hospital to hospital to hospital, and then was eventually discharged with a medical discharge.
Interesting.
And when it went on to live till 1890, I think, at which point there was a note that his widow applied for and received a widow's pension. So interesting. And Bella was like, ooh, they fought in this battle and this battle and this battle that I've read about. And so that she really liked being able to connect like battles that she'd read about with our family tree.
It says here on Wikipedia's entry for the 24th Iowa, it was among the most distinguished of the Iowa commands. So it was also called the Methodist Regiment because the colonel who organized the regiment was a clergyman, Methodist.
Interesting. You know, my grandmother's family were Methodist.
Hmm.
She actually converted sometime after she and my granddad met. Like she married him, promising to raise the kids Catholic, but she wasn't Catholic herself until sometime after they'd had a few kids, I think.
Hmm.
So that's interesting.
There was a Battle of Winchester. I wonder if that's Winchester, Illinois. I doubt it.
Probably not. That's where my dad is from, Winchester, Illinois.
Yeah.
That was my grandmother's hometown. My grandfather was from Kentucky.
Right. So very cool. And so exciting. I mean, it's kind of my ancestors have a much shorter history in this country than yours do. I mean, my grandfather came from Sicily. I mean, grandfather and grandmother.
Right.
So that's my dad's parents. My mom's dad came from somewhere around Russia. The borders were fluid, so we're not exactly sure whether it was Russia at the time, but we say he was Russian around before the Bolshevik Revolution, so early 1900s. And then my mother's family, they have a bunch of different origins, but French Canadian, so they were Acadians.
So I always like sort of envied people who had recent immigrants. Like I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know exactly when your ancestors came to this country, whereas mine is it's all so far back. Like,
yeah,
like it's kind of in the past, hazy past.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, the difference. I mean, we don't know much beyond the immigrants, but yeah, that's true. That's true. You know where you came from. So, so that's what's been going on. That's what's been happening. So let's a little bit about what we've been eating. You had a request this week for enchiladas.
Yes, I used to make enchiladas all the time, but I used to make enchiladas all the time in part. Well, enchiladas are one of my favorite foods.
Yes.
But I used to make them a lot because I would make them with leftover chicken. And we used to actually have a lot of leftover chicken.
Leftover in roast fact, chicken or, yeah, baked chicken.
Right. In fact, sometimes we would have more than would actually, like, fill out a pan of enchiladas.
And you'd have to put it in the freezer. Yeah.
Right. We no longer really have leftover chicken. So when Anthony requested enchiladas this week, I had to actually cook up a chicken breast in order to shred to make into the enchiladas.
Right. And so, yeah, Anthony was all about the enchiladas for some reason. Like, it's one of his favorite dishes.
Right. And he's like, you never make enchiladas anymore, Mama.
You usually make green enchiladas, like with Hatch chilies.
Well, I make green enchiladas with lots of different variations. Recently, I've found some cans of Hatch chilies at Whole Foods, and so I've been making those. But I also make like a tomatillo enchiladas.
Right.
I really like a green enchilada better than red, but I like red too.
I like red. That's my favorite. And I think Anthony's favorite too. I think he likes the red most too. I'm not sure. But we ended up using a Cook's Illustrated, totally using it, but Cook's Illustrated talking about like making the with from scratch, the chicken, had you cut it up and cook it in the sauce.
Right.
Which is an interesting idea. Then you strain it out of the sauce.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that in, like, sort of the authentic Tex-Mex cookbooks.
Right.
In fact, sometimes they'll actually, like, cook a whole chicken in tomato sauce.
Yeah.
With, like, onions and all sorts of vegetables in it. And then they'll strain off the sauce and use that as the base for a sauce. And then they'll use the chicken shredded for all sorts of different dishes.
Mm. Anyway, We also used to have leftover enchiladas.
Not anymore.
I got like 2 enchiladas out of that pan. We're going to have to start making more food for dinners, I think.
I swear, Sophie, she has a hole in her leg. That girl, she is growing so much, and she eats breakfast at 6, and then she eats second breakfast at like 9, and then she eats third breakfast at like 11.
Brunch. Yes.
And then sometimes she skips lunch because she's
just eaten.
But then she gets hungry around like 3.
Right. Anthony's also been starving and growing. I mean, he is nearly as tall as Ben at this point.
Yeah, it's these kids.
Growth spurts.
I can't keep up.
And I'm like, I'd like to have some more food for dinner, but I guess not. This is like the dad diet.
Right.
I'm going to end up having to lose weight because there's not enough to eat. But the red enchiladas were really good, and they got all eaten up. Anthony practically licked the pan.
He did.
So that was good. We used to make Mexican rice with that.
I did, but I'm trying to cut down on the carbs.
You also trying to cut on the carbs. Yeah.
So I love Mexican rice. Oh my goodness, I really do. And I really like to do the whole like Mexican restaurant where you get the refried beans and the rice and the enchiladas, but whoa, that's way too many carbs. I really I can't eat that
right
anymore. So yeah.
That's too bad. What was the other thing that was we used to make was jambalaya a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's all carb.
Another rice dish. Anyway. So one thing I wanted to mention I grilled some pork chops tonight. And one thing I want to mention as a tip for grilling. A lot of people have for like grilling gloves, like they basically have hot mitts like you have in the kitchen. They're basically mittens, you know, the mitten thing with the thumb and all your fingers covered. And I saw a good tip from someone once, which was get welding gloves.
I think that was Alton Brown.
It's probably Alton Brown. The good cooking tips come from Alton Brown. Because welders need to be able to grip things. Because the problem with the mittens is you can't grab anything. It's like wearing towels on your hand. Whereas welding gloves, welders need to be able to hold things and grip things and grab things. And welding gloves are rated to much higher temperatures. Like I saw when I was looking at them online on Amazon, it was like rated to 960 degrees.
Your grill is not going to get to 960 degrees.
Like I literally can move the hot lit coals with my hands with the welding gloves.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, they wear out. And so they start to lose protection over time. Like all mitts do. They don't block the heat as well. So you end up having but they last. I mean, these ones I've had for several years. They last a while, and they're not super expensive. It's like $20 on Amazon or something. So it was
good deal.
Yeah. So that's my tip: is welding gloves for grilling. They'll be great. I mean, heck, you could use them in the kitchen too, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to reach in and grab that roasting pan with the big turkey. You know, right. It would be really handy to be able to just reach in there, fingers and thumbs, and grab the handles. Right,
instead of trying to, like, manipulate it through big,
right,
puffy mitts.
And if you get long ones, you can get ones that go practically up to your elbow, protect your arm in the oven.
Right, so you don't do the horrible thing where you, like, accidentally put your arm too high and you hit the element and you get a big, nasty burn on your arm.
I literally have a scar on my arm from touching the grate. Yeah. Ugh, so... That's I might pick some up for just having in the house. That's an idea. Or just use the ones that are on the grill in the house, too. All right. So that's food. Let's talk about what we've been reading and watching. I want to talk about a new YouTube channel I've discovered.
All right. You do that.
Cowboy Kent Collins.
He, I just have to laugh.
He is
funny.
Awesome. So he's a real cowboy, chuck wagon cookie from Oklahoma. I was reading about him. He's like he's known out there. Like he started in the 90s. He was like the official chuck wagon of Oklahoma, the declaration by the governor. Like he goes around and gives talks. He's a
like a historical interpreter.
No, I think he might have done that, but he also as a storyteller. Like he's won awards as a cowboy tale teller or whatever they call it. You know.
Okay.
He's been on TV. He's been on the Food Network. He went up against Bobby Flay in one of those competitions and beat him for something. So he has a YouTube channel where he does all kinds of cooking and outdoor cooking. So grill. Sometimes he's on the chuck wagon and he's on the wood stove. Sometimes he's just on a regular gas grill. The kids and I watched a bunch of his videos. He's made the Cowboy Big Mac. So the Big Mac, the patties, the beef patties are 2 ounces each. Yeah, he used two 8 ounce patties to make his Big Mac. Yeah, cowboy burger.
Yeah, that's way too much meat.
Yes, it was. But you could cut it down. But he also did the Cowboy Egg McMuffin, and then he did tacos with guacamole, his own recipe for guacamole, making the tortillas from scratch, and so. But he's got the patter. He's got but he's also he's just kind of authentic red state American sort of thing going on. I don't want to make it a political thing, but every video ends with him thanking the American servicemen and women who protect our freedoms. And I take my hat off to you. And recently, you know, to all those on the front lines with the pandemic. And he's always cites faith, you know, something about, you know, not like he's proselytizing, but it just faith comes out. In the cookbook that he just did with his wife was a feasting faith and something or other. I forget what it was, but Cowboy Kent Rollins YouTube channel. So it's kind of fun. Collins, not wrong. We say Kent Collins or Kent Rollins. Oh, now I got to look it up. Cowboy Kent. I think it's Rollins, not Collins. I think I misspoke it. Yeah, it's Rollins. Rollins. So it's KentRollins.com, or you could find the YouTube channel. So check that out. Another thing for watching stuff lately. So I do Secrets of Doctor Who with Jimmy Akin and Father Koistika. And so that means I'm watching a lot of Doctor Who. And I usually watch those things at night after the kids are in bed. Especially the newer stuff is not as much the little kid friendly, not our kids anyway. But I was watching a Third Doctor story. Which is, you know, from the early 1970s. So the monsters in it are wicked cheesy looking. Like, hey, look, there's a guy in a blanket with stuff to tape to it sort of thing. So I was watching it Friday afternoon because it's the timing. I had to get it done. And the kids came in and sat and watched it. And they only saw like half of it. And they were totally into it. Like it was Anthony, Lucy and Ben.
Of course, they watch so little TV, they'll be almost into anything. Like, it's on TV, and it's moving and making noise.
I suppose if it were C-SPAN, they would stand there and watch it.
They would totally watch C-SPAN.
Yeah. But it makes me think that maybe I should show them more classic.
I do think that they would enjoy it, though.
Yeah. I didn't watch Doctor Who when I was a kid. I was not I
didn't even hear about Doctor Who until I was in college. And then I had a friend who dressed as
the Fourth Doctor, the big scarf. Dressed as the Fourth Doctor. Yeah.
And I was like, why are you wearing this big, weird scarf? And Doctor Who? And I was like, I have no idea what that is.
What does he teach? Yeah, so I didn't watch it. I remember when I was a kid seeing on PBS part of one episode featuring the Fourth Doctor, and the sets were so cheesy. I'm like, there's no way I'm watching this. I'm watching Star Trek. If I'm going to watch science fiction, I'll watch Star Trek. That's it. Or Battlestar Galactica. But I'm not watching this stuff. But as an adult, I have much more appreciation. So it's a lot of fun. So, but we've started watching something. Our next watch together thing.
Yes.
We saw together the first season of Umbrella Academy on Netflix.
And really liked it.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at you how much you liked it. I didn't peg you for liking superhero stuff as much.
Well, but Umbrella Academy is not exactly
superhero
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of different and quirky. And it's like interesting characters.
There's some humor in it. Some yes. wry humor, some funny, and it's got a complex plot.
I like the complexity, and it's got like the complex, like time travel going back and forth, that sort of thing. I kind of like that kind of narrative complexity.
Yeah. So I could see that. So we have the problem, which everyone has these days, which is the seasons, the time between seasons for everything is now like a year. So you watch 8 or 10 episodes very rapidly usually, And then you have to wait a year and then watch the next season, and you have no idea what's happened. You forget everything that's happened in the first season.
Right. I remember liking this show, but I do not know what it was about.
So you have to watch the whole thing all over again, which we were going to do, but, you know, we don't have time for that. Or Netflix had a 1 minute recap, essentially,
which was, I think, enough to
jog the memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are still some things I'm not quite clear on.
Right, there were a couple of plot points that I'm like, I'm not exactly sure what happened.
I'm not sure. I remember the thing happening with Vanya, but I'm not sure I remember why exactly. But it doesn't hurt my enjoyment of the beginning of the second season, which is pretty good. I just hope it doesn't devolve into this. Every season is we have to stop the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, spoilers, but it's not much of a spoiler because,
I mean, in a way,
it's superheroes. All superheroes are trying to stop an apocalypse.
Well, in a way, this is really the same apocalypse from the first season.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, it's related. We're not sure, but you're not sure how yet. But it's interesting. It's got time travel. It's got these quirky characters. They have their strengths, but their strengths are also, in some ways, their weaknesses.
Right.
Which is interesting. And the interpersonal relationships, these sort of adopted foster family situation of they love each other, but sometimes they really can't stand each other, and they all have their neuroses. And so it makes for an interesting story. And so two episodes in of the first season, the second season. And it's, I think it's,
I want to keep watching.
Yeah, I think as good.
Yeah.
I really want to see a second season of Raising Dion.
I'm
really looking forward to that. What's good news is the second season of The Mandalorian, I've been hearing very clearly that it's coming in October. So
yay,
The Mandalorian. Everything's going to drop at once. That's how it's going to work. They're all the second seasons, because Star Trek Discovery's third season starts in the middle of October, too. I am going to be so busy. It's good busy. So that's Umbrella Academy season 2. I finished another Dresden Files book. So I don't think that merits me talking much about it. It is getting to the point. I do want to say this part much. The series is getting to the point where I understand now why you and a lot of our friends like the series is that at about this point, this fifth or sixth book.
Right.
The moral complexity, the moral decisions, the moral
dilemmas,
it's not coming to my head. Moral dilemmas that he struggles with are interesting because they're not cliched. These are the real, like, people don't usually choose evil because it's evil. They choose evil because they think it's a good, because I'm going to use. I know these are evil means, but I'm trying to achieve a good end, or...
And I can't see any other way to do it.
Right. And evil doesn't come up as the big horned gross monster. Evil appears as an attractive, reasonable, very logical tempter. I mean, it's very interesting. I was sitting there going, you know... She makes a good point. Maybe you should give in. I'm like, no, you can't. You can't. Wait. No, you can't give in. But really, that seems very reasonable.
Right. It's like the first five books kind of are foundation. They're fun. They're enjoyable. If it had kept in that vein, I probably would have eventually got bored with it. I have one friend who did get bored with it, although she got past the point where you are. But she was reading them, I think, as they came out, like one every year or two.
Right.
And whereas I read the series all in one go.
Yes.
Like back to back. And I really think that it works better that way, because I think if you wait too long between books, you miss the overarching plot arc and you're only dealing with the plot of each individual novel.
Right. Because there are elements that are carrying on from one book to the next, and things that aren't getting resolved all in one by the, you know, the major story gets resolved, but there are elements that keep continuing and develop and mature and change. And so, yeah, I agree. I knew it would be good because you and Teresa and others of our friends all enjoyed it, and I knew it would be good. So it just needed to be a particular time when I could pick it up and start reading it.
Right. I mean, that's how I was actually for years. My sister and one of my best friends from college kept saying, you should read this. And gradually I found more and more friends who read it and enjoyed it. And I'm like, okay, fine.
So the, like, he started writing the series. It's set about, like, the first book is like 2001 and it's kind of real time, right?
Ish.
Like the latest book, it was the 16th book just came out.
Uh-huh.
Is around 2018, 19.
I'm not sure actually. He's kind of vague and fuzzy on the, on the timeline. Like, there have fans have put together a timeline.
Because he mentions on, times.
Right, based on sort of an internal chronology.
Yeah.
And he seems to have approved of the timeline by putting it on his website.
Okay. The author, yeah.
The author. But he's never put out an official timeline.
I mean, the book itself, all the books itself say last fall, that, you know, referring to the events of the previous book, last fall, or that was 3 years ago.
There is one book where a major character, you haven't got there yet, where a major character seems to have aged 2 years when everybody else seems to have aged 1 year.
But that could just be the magic.
maybe she, like, went off on an adventure that nobody else knows about. Anyway. Oh,
I know who you're talking about, too. Because the only one it would matter who'd aged several years would be a child. All right, never mind.
Not necessarily.
Never mind. I don't want to spoil it. You finished a book.
I did. I've actually finished.
Surprise.
Finished a couple. Yes. And I can't even remember most of them, honestly. I've been kind of binge reading. Anyway, I finished a book called Swift by
R.J. Anderson.
R.J. Anderson. I knew it was like initials and something. Anyway, it's the first in a trilogy, but evidently there was a prequel trilogy or this is following another trilogy, which I didn't read. Anyway, the it's sort of a young adult novel, a series, I believe. It's not.
Stupid Siri.
In any case, so the main character is a Cornish Pisky, which is sort of like a pixie, but with the SK instead of KS.
A fairy.
Well, there are fairies too in the world, and they live in a depleted mine in Cornwall, and try to stay away from humans, and then, you know, things happen and it gets complicated and she ends up in the big city. So it's sort of urban fantasy. Like, it's definitely supposed to be taking place today. I thought there were parts of it that were really interesting, but ultimately I started to get a little bit bored, and I'm not even sure I really want to pick up the rest of the series. I might eventually. But I just was not that interested in the characters who were in the prior series enough to, like, make say, I've got to go find that and read and find out what happened.
Right.
It was more like, oh, yeah, that was interesting.
I started reading a science fiction novel that I'd picked up, like, it was 99 cents or free on Amazon, as a Kindle. And it was like first of the series. And I started reading, I'm like, wait a second, it's referring to things. Is it just starting in media res like this, or is there previous books that I missed? Yeah, apparently there was a previous trilogy and I went to the Amazon page and the reviews say, oh, yeah, don't believe the hype. You need to read the previous trilogy. I'm like, ah. So I put that away and, like, I'll get to the previous trilogy.
Don't tell me it's the first of a series when it's actually the first of a
second trilogy.
Second trilogy. Ugh. That's not the same thing as the first of a series.
No, that's like saying The Phantom Menace is the first of a series.
No.
So anyway, that's what we've been.
Yeah, I might have liked it better if I'd been more invested in the characters who clearly had been in the previous books.
Mm. Speaking of Swift, actually, you joggled my memory. Bella came to me not long ago asking if she could go back to using my iPad to do Swift Playgrounds app, which is Apple's app for learning how to program in their programming language called Swift. It's designed for kids. So it really teaches programming concepts, at least in the beginning, and then goes further. And she tried it out a couple of years ago and she didn't really like it. But she was interested in coming back to it. I think it might have been a scout thing. I forget what it was that prompted her. But she kind of came back to this idea of...
She was really bored this week. She's really ready to start school.
Right. But I want to encourage that. I want to, like, I don't think she's going to become a programmer, but having skills or understanding at least of programming, that's like knowing how cars work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to become a mechanic, but if you understand how your car works, how the engine works, how the parts relate to each other, that's an advantage in life. And I think it's the same way with programming. If you understand how programming works, how computers work, even if you're not a programmer, I think that's
great. She comes from a long line of programmers.
Your mother was a, was a computer programmer.
My mom was a computer programmer.
She was one of the first computer programmers working for the state of Austin, right? She was one of the first women, female computer programmers.
She originally got started actually when they lived in Tucson. She was working at a hospital, and the hospital got in a computer. This was in the 60s. And they asked for volunteers to learn how to use the computer, which, of course, at that time,
which is a big room sized device.
Right. And so she did that. So she did that for a while. And then they moved to El Paso, and then they moved to Austin, and she worked for the Texas Health Department as a programmer for years.
This was starting in the 60s and.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, kept learning new languages and doing like new projects and stuff. I grew up coloring on punch cards.
Right.
Because
once the program was loaded and done, the punch cards were useless. They were unnecessary.
They were just these weird shaped, like.
With holes in them.
Coloring pages with holes in them.
With Chads popped out. Chads. Remember? Anyone remember 2000? The year 2000?
I had never heard the word Chad before.
Before now?
No, before then. Before 2000.
No one had heard Chads. Or hanging Chads, which sounds like a disease. I'm sorry, sir. You have hanging Chads. Anyway, moving on. So let's talk a little bit about this week's readings. The readings from Mass. You went to Mass today with Bella and Lucy and Anthony.
Yes.
If anyone would like to see a Melanie at Mass with Bella, Lucy, and Anthony, you could just go watch the replay of the live stream Mass, the 10:30 Mass on Facebook at Brockton Tri-Parish. I think that's the
Brockton Tri-Parish.
Brockton Tri-Parish. Because you're like right there in the opening procession. They have the camera pointed straight down the aisle at Father Mike. And then after you've during communion, but after you've already received, they had the camera turned around again. That's always our fun time to see mommy and the others. So I
have a confession to make.
Uh-huh.
The kids all said that Father Mike's homily was awesome today. Like all three of them in the car said, that was a great homily. Yeah, that was a really good homily. I really liked the homily. And I do not remember the homily.
Please refer back to earlier in the podcast when Melanie said she slept for 2 hours this afternoon when she was falling asleep.
That was nap two. Yeah. Nap number one was unfortunately during the homily, which it was not because the homily was boring.
No, no, no.
It wasn't because the church was hot or stuffy.
You were just tired.
I was just tired.
Oh, we all struggle. We struggle, parents.
So I'm sad that I missed the homily.
It was good.
Maybe I'll go back and watch the replay again.
Well, that's the thing. I wish I would just excerpt out the homily and post it, because Father Mike's homilies are always good. So it's interesting. So remember last week I talked about, it's interesting how last week Peter walked on water and then lost faith and fell in, and Jesus had to bail him out. Mm-hmm. And then this week, you're the rock on which I will build my church. Well, welcome back, Peter, because now you're Satan. Because this is right after this gospel, Matthew 16, 21. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, you're the rock in which I will build my church. Matthew 16, 21 to 27, boom. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me.
Right. Matthew puts those boom, 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 like right one right after the other.
Yes. And so does the church.
Right. Deliberately so. I mean, Peter is a complex character.
Well, but also discipleship is a rocky road, quite literally in some cases in the Bible. But it's you're up, you're down, you make mistakes, you come back, you make another mistake. You know, you're on top of the world. You've been called. You've been selected. You are the next pope. Oh, you've messed up and now you're Satan. And then you'll be back again. And then you'll be forgiven again. And that's
right. It's not.
That's the road of discipleship.
Right. I mean, you know, Jesus says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. But he obviously,
that's aspirational.
Right, right. But he also gives us the sacrament of reconciliation because he knows that we're going to need it. We're not, while we're trying to be perfect, we're going to keep falling down and needing to be picked back up again.
Right. Well, the other thing about this one is the readings just this week show the contradiction of the life of discipleship. Like, it doesn't make sense in the world's terms. You know, Jeremiah, great prophet, called by God to bring the message to Israel. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped.
I love that reading. I really like Jeremiah a lot. And yes, yeah. You tricked me, and I let myself be tricked.
I wanted to trust you.
And now everyone's laughing at me.
Yes. Oh, my God. All the day I'm an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me because the message of God is outrageous in the terms of the world. It's crazy. Right. If you
we had that reading this week, the cross is a stumbling block, foolishness for Greeks and a stumbling block for Jews.
Right.
So
it's what does Paul say about the wisdom of God is foolishness to the wise? Or
yeah,
I'm gonna have my scripture creds taken away.
Yeah, we got that this week.
Yes,
because the kids and I remember talking about sort of that foolish wise.
Well, like with Jeremiah, he's preaching a message of repentance. People don't want to hear a message of repentance. He says, violence and outrage is my message. And everyone wants to like poo-poo that. Derision and reproach is what they give me. So I like this. So I won't mention him anymore. I will speak his name in his name no more. But then the word burns like a fire in my heart. I grow weary holding it in. I can't endure it. I have to preach it. I love that imagery of
right.
I won't preach your word anymore.
Right. If all I'm going to get, I mean, who is it? St. Teresa of Avila. If this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Like that is one of my favorite readings from Jeremiah, because it's just so real. It's so like, oh, I can identify with that. And then we have Romans. We have St. Paul. This is, again, another one of my favorite verses. In fact, I remember when I was helping Randy with the youth group at Immaculate in Salem. One of the things he started doing with the kids was like, we should memorize certain verses. Like, let's try to memorize certain verses so that we can pull them out at the drop of a hat. He had this kick about like, if Protestants can do it, we can do it as Catholics. Anyway, so this was one of them. And he says, this one is, it's very simple. Two verses. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. That's the first verse. But this one is the key. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Okay, so just unpack that for a sec. Don't conform yourself to this age. How do I not conform myself to this age? How do I not be part of the world, but in the world, but not part of it? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So that's how I am not part of this age, not conforming to the age, by the renewal of my mind. What does that mean? Why do I do that? That you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. So the renewal of your mind helps you with discernment to know what God wants from you. So by knowing what God wants from you, what is good, what is pleasing, what is perfect, then you are not conformed to this age.
I have to say that the one that actually speaks to me is actually from the first part. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was one of my verses that got me through pregnancy.
Right.
Because really, pregnancy is this sort of offering up your body as this is not all 100% mine anymore. This is doing all sorts of weird things that I don't like. And it's frankly miserable a lot of the time. But remembering that there is you can make that into a spiritual worship really pulled me through.
And yeah, you're offering up your body as a living sacrifice to bring God's child into the world.
Right.
Yeah. And then after Jesus, you know, tells the disciples that we're going up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be tortured, killed, and then on the third day I will be raised. I think like Peter stopped listening after the to be killed part. But on the third day, I will be raised. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. No, I will be raised. Again, Jesus says it. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. You have conformed yourself to this age. Your mind has not been renewed. You're being like those of today. You have been duped by the world, not by God. And so Jesus says, you know, he prevents this contradiction. Whoever comes after me must deny himself. You have to take up your cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I mean, that's the big, that's it right there. If you wish to save your life, you have to lose it. I mean, it's like something out of like a movie, you know, like those, like the puzzle, like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. Only the penitent man will pass. If you wish to save your life, you will lose it. If I lose it, then I haven't saved it. No, you will have saved it. So, Father Mike's homily, I'm trying to remember. I keep saying I need to take notes as I do it. And I guess if I'm home watching it, I'm going to start taking notes so I can remember it, because otherwise I have to go back and rewatch it. But he started off talking about how we, as in life, we often, especially as children and to our parents, we're told to be something or do something, and we reject it. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that.
Right.
I think that might have been what actually got to our kids. Like, wow, that's so great. Because he was acknowledging that. Like, he acknowledged he would do that to his parents. And he had this great, like, twitch of his shoulder and turn of his head. You could just picture him as a kid. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Right.
And it was just like, oh, yes, that's such a kid thing to do. And
well, he also talked about, like, how he would refuse to eat something his mom had made because he was angry at her. Oh, yes. Which, oh my goodness, yes, I'm mad at you, so I'm not going to eat this food. But then eventually he would come back and
find it,
of course, and eat it.
Yes, because he was hungry. But I'm going to punish you by not eating this food you made for me. Yeah, who are you punishing? Oh, yes, the battle of the wills. I had a few of those with my mom. Sorry, Mom. So, good gospel readings, good homily from Father Mike. We really should like pull that out and post it online. Yeah, let's see if the parish can do that. Anyway, I think that about does it. That about wraps it up.
All right.
So coming up this week, anything we have
this week we're doing the official rollout of
school,
high school.
Yep.
The junior high stuff I haven't actually finalized yet, but I've got the high school stuff like fairly nailed down. So we're going to do sort of as written this week. And then see what we need to tweak. Maybe we won't need to tweak anything.
You duped me, Lord.
It's a pretty hefty reading schedule for Isabella. And
it's challenging.
I'm looking at it going, that's a lot.
Right.
That's a really lot. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
But she is raring to go, and she is really looking forward to getting started. So
right out of the gate.
We'll see.
Yeah. Good. All right. So as we wrap up, we want to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Raising the Bets, including Jennifer C., Brian W., Matthew G., Janilyn M., and Kevin T. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Raising the Bets and all the shows at StarQuest. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. So, if you have any feedback for us on our discussion, anything you'd like to add or suggest, you can let us know by commenting at sqpn.com/bets. That's BETTS. Or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Or send an email to bets@sqpn.com. And we'll put links to various things from our discussion on our show notes at sqpn.com. If you haven't done so, please subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app, or on YouTube at the SQPN YouTube channel, where you should also hit the bell to get notifications. Until next time, I'm Dom Bettinelli.
I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
Thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.